I appreciate the voters for Trump. Every weekend I see it, not even weekends now, they're doing it during the week. And I just wish I had time, I'd get on one of those boats and I'd be carrying a flag also. But I have to say, it looks like you're having a good time. I just want to thank everybody. I see that, and the whole world is watching. And you people are fantastic. Your spirit, your strength, and you get it. You know what you're doing. So go out and have a lot of fun and celebrate. And the big thing is November 3rd, get out and vote. We can't let the radical left take over this country. They'll raise your taxes by 3 to 4 times. They're looking at 90% rates, 90, 95, and they won't be able to afford that. They need 300%. These people are crazy, and we have to stop them. Thank you very much.
Take his mask and shut. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store.
I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. Where we go one, we go all.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have what we call citizen journalists. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information, and they did it through social media. You are demonstrating a level of intellectual courage that our country desperately needs.
Today's Democrat Party is held hostage by haters. Absolute haters. Left-wing haters. Angry mobs. Deep state radicals and their fake news allies.
It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
We look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth. It was because here in this land, we unleash the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine. Wherever we are, we will become the plan when we choose to reject what they call globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
May God bless America.
This is not a coincidence that all of these celebrities are all linked to Freemasonry. How they subliminally always throw in Freemasonry symbols in movies and music videos. And how, if I put all this in perspective in one video, how it should be able to get people to start thinking and realizing that these secret societies all work together. These celebrities who are part of these elite bloodlines all are part of these fraternal organizations, okay? So for people out there to think, well, you know, they could make it in Hollywood and they can make it as a famous musician based on talent, they're living in a naive world because that is not true. It is not possible to make it in these fields unless you are one of them. Now, I know a lot of people feel that Freemasonry is a bottom-dwelling fraternal order. It's at the bottom of the pyramid. It's at the bottom of the food chain. It's what most people will tell you. Well, there's truth in that, and there's also lies in that. Because while Freemasonry might not be the Jesuit order and it might not be, you know, as powerful as the Jesuits or as powerful as Zionists, all of these people who are in those fraternal orders went through Freemasonry. And whether they went to the, you know, down the road of the Scottish Rite or a different path and became 33rd degree Masons and then, you know, moved up in the pyramid into different fraternal organizations, all of these people go through the basic Freemasonry, the basic, you know, fraternal orders that they have to go through. Okay. And I want to show you, you know, because it is important. It's very important. And I worry about people who follow the truther community who think that, you know, you only should talk about the one thing and not talk about the other, because there's a lot of clogs in the wheel. Okay. And I've heard channels recently talking about how they, you know, Freemasonry isn't really bad, and oh, it's only been infiltrated recently, and oh, they have, you know, certain people have family members who are in it, and it's not what everybody thinks, at least it wasn't then. It's always been corrupt since it's been here in America, okay? Period. It's not just now all of a sudden it's a corrupt organization, okay? So people who are dismissing it, you really have to check their credentials. And it really makes you wonder if, you know, the person's grandfather was a Freemason or 33, you know, or whatever, or in some other fraternal organization, if they're a part of it as well and they're giving out disinformation, because that's what they do. They will plant Freemasons in this, you know, community to give out disinformation, to make it seem like Freemasonry isn't bad and only focus on this or focus on that, when there's a lot of things that we all should focus on exposing. Because if people really see this stuff, they start to go, wow, is it a coincidence that all of these people happen to be Freemasons, that all of these people, you know, in Hollywood are all connected to each other? Now, you could see, let's start here by showing some of the basic symbols, okay? You don't need to see the guy in the cloak or whatever you call it, in the garb that they wear, or, you know, like Shaquille O'Neal, who's wearing it openly on TNT television while he's covering NBA basketball, showing off his ring, because clearly he doesn't care at all, so he shows it off. But you also will see subliminal messaging, images such as the hidden hand, right? You'll see Kanye West doing the hidden hand. I've covered this in a separate video. And again, I want this stuff to all be in one video so people could see this and go, oh, this is pretty interesting. What is this fraternal organization and why is there one in every town in America? Because guess what? Look it up. Look up where you live. There's definitely one in your town. And if it's not in your town, it's on the border of your town, because you might be in a really, really small town. But the town next to it will have one, and people who from your town will be members in that town. Okay, that's why on the highway you'll see signs when you get off at an exit, you'll see this Freemasonic logo, because they let them know, okay, here's where the lodge is here for all the Freemasons who come through. I mean, this is how it works. It is a network, okay? We've all been duped into thinking, you know, it's sitting right there for everyone to see, but we've all been duped because we just think that all this stuff is just natural, like it's a fraternity in college, okay? So you'll see Tom Hanks, another Freemason, doing the sign of fidelity, the hand over the chest. You'll see a lot of, you know, these people on magazine covers doing these poses. This is what they do. It's almost like if you're somebody who isn't awake yet or you're just beginning to wake up, it's like gang, right? Everybody's aware that gangs throw up gang symbols, okay? Well, they do the same thing here. And they're not throwing up, you know, gang symbols to a motorcycle club or whatever they're a part of. Okay, they're throwing it up to the Brotherhood. They're letting other members and other people in the Brotherhood know that they're a part of the same fraternal organization. So you can see Tom Hanks doing it. You could see Kanye West doing the hidden hand. You could see a variation of it from Robert De Niro. Okay, in this, you know, this photo that was taken for The Godfather, you know, with the pinky out. A lot of people, Johnny Depp has posed, you know, doing this. They'll do it on magazine covers. These are deliberately done poses. This isn't like, you know, getting out of the shower and somebody just flashing a picture of you or getting off of a bus. Okay. They're strategically doing this. That's what they do. That's how they communicate with one another. Okay. You'll see some of these images, you know, from films, Christopher Walken wearing the Freemasonic ring on his hand. Okay. You see some of these other characters in movies. I believe this one guy was the guy from They Live wearing the Masonic ring as well. Obviously, I covered Ashton Kutcher recently, and you all saw him wearing the hat, okay? Now, Walt Disney, a member of, you know, we have the Freemasonic 33 Club at Disney, also a member of the DeMolays. For those of you who aren't aware, the DeMolay is a fraternal organization for children, is a part of Freemasonry. They recruit these kids, and then they prepare them to become Freemasons when they're age appropriate. They do the same thing. They recruit females. They begin indoctrinating them with a worship of Lucifer because all of these Freemasons worship Lucifer. Here is the quote, okay? This is from 33rd Degree Mason Albert Pike. "That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a god, but is the god that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Grand Inspectors General, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, maintained in the purity of Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, Jesus, spread false and harmful statements about him? Yes, Lucifer is God." That is a quote from Albert Pike. And there's other quotes in the teachings that Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light and with its splendors, intolerable blinds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls? Doubt it not. And that's from Morals and Dogma. This is what they are taught. Okay, so now you know. And listen, I know a lot of you already know this stuff, but I want to put this together for people to make this an easy transition to wake up. Realize that there's a Freemason lodge in your town. Realize that the teachings that they teach inside of there are not of the Bible, even though they'll claim that, you know, they'll put the Bible on their altar and they'll say that they're Christian. Okay, we know that these people are liars. They worship Lucifer and they indoctrinate people with this Luciferian doctrine, period. Now, here's the connection. You start seeing all of these celebrities, right? Here you have Brad Paisley, openly 32nd degree Freemason, right? Even a video where he's boasting about it, talking about how we need to have tolerance and we need to have universal love. These are all the things that I've been warning everybody about, right? Universal love. What does that lead to? Universal love and tolerance leads to the acceptance of Satanism and the occult. And that's why in this society we live in, people are accepting of it. And the only thing they're not tolerant of is Christianity. Okay, so you can see him here with his stupid little hat on. These people are just, you know, they claim to be a part of a brotherhood, but I mean, they're just nothing but losers. You see Bill Clinton here. Bill Clinton. Now, some people say, well, where's the connection with Clinton and Freemasonry? Clinton fully connected to the Order of the Demolay in Arkansas. You can see him here at one of the orders, hanging around kids, which is something that we all know he loves to do. You can see Richard Dreyfuss here. Richard Dreyfuss is a famous, proud Freemason, okay? Cosmo Kramer, I forget the guy's name off the top of my head, from Seinfeld. Okay, you see him on the cover of The Scottish Rite. Most of you have probably already seen this and are aware of it. You'll see Brad Pitt, right, on his ring, wearing another Masonic symbol on his ring. You can see Simon Cowell here on his jet ski. I mean, you can't make it up. Proudly with the Masonic emblem on his jet ski. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it's rampant. And all of these people are a part of this stuff. And now, another thing that you should keep in mind is that Ivy League universities, okay? We're talking Stanford, Yale. They have their own secret societies. Everybody's aware of Skull and Bones and the Bush's connections in Skull and Bones. All of these Ivy Leagues have their own fraternal organizations that are connected to Freemasonry. And that's one of the reasons that most of these famous musicians and actors all, quote unquote, attend these schools like Dartmouth, like Stanford, like Yale. It's not because they're smarter than you and me. Okay, remember, for the people who think that, you know, somebody's so smart for going to Yale or these schools, this is all fake. All the stuff that people are learning is nothing but lies. So in reality, they're really the dumbest people on earth are the ones that are going to these schools and thinking that they're smart because they're just smarter than everybody else at believing lies and passing tests and being rewarded for it because they're believing the lie more than anybody else. It's laughable. It's laughable. So you can see, you know, and that's something to remember, that these Ivy League schools, they recruit people and they indoctrinate them. You'll see movies where they'll be talking about, oh, let's recruit them for fraternities. And then they'll make it just seem like, oh, yeah, the fraternity, you know, the guys, you know, getting drunk and doing keg stands and picking up chicks. Okay, that's not really what's going on. Yes, that does go on college campuses, of course. But they actually are really recruiting people at schools like Yale because there are people who aren't born into it that get into it, that they want involved in it, that they see something in. Okay? Harry Truman, another 33rd degree Freemason. Okay, and I've recently heard another a Truth Channel talking about how they don't make men like Harry Truman anymore. Yeah, they sure don't. They make them just as bad, or if not worse. Truman responsible for Operation Paperclip, bringing in all these doctors who were running these MKUltra experiments. Just another rotten human being who's probably just burning in hell right now as we speak. Unless he repented, of course, and found Jesus Christ. Okay, so you'll see all of these people connected to one another. And it's important to realize that they're not hiding this stuff. It's just a matter of your mind and your perception of seeing these things, right? Seeing these signs and these symbols. They're always in front of us. We just have been trained not to think this way, not to look for these types of things, okay? You don't have to just look for a pendant with the Masonic symbol or the pyramid or any of those things. Remember that they do these hidden hand signs, whether it's the 666 like we always see on the magazine covers, or these Masonic hand signs, right? Like I showed you before with Tom Hanks or with Kanye West. These are deliberately done. These poses are deliberately done. He didn't just shove his hand in his, you know, Kanye wasn't going, oh, my hand's a little cold. Let me shove it in my pocket here. This is how they're trained to communicate. We're trained not to see this stuff. And that's why they do it in plain sight. The problem is that when you tell people about it, they go, oh, you're a crazy person. So let's summarize this video. We have Freemason lodges in every town in America. Freemasonry, obviously, like I said, it doesn't, you know, it's not the Jesuits here. We're not at the top of the pyramid. We're at the bottom of the pyramid, but that's where the recruiting is done. Okay, the recruiting is done there. The recruiting is done at Ivy League schools. And then you have all of these celebrities who are connected to Freemasonry doing these poses on magazine covers, right? And these people are all going up the ladder. You have Brad Paisley, right, 32nd degree Mason. Now this guy's suddenly a big star. Not a coincidence. Preaching love, preaching tolerance. That's what you're going to hear Freemasons do. That is the Luciferian doctrine. Tolerance. Accept everything. Let a five-year-old tell you its gender. Accept homosexuality. Accept, accept, accept. That's what they want, because tolerance is Lucifer. Being tolerant of all of this stuff. Remember, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. That is what they believe. Do what thou wilt means tolerance. So you can see all these guys. But again, it must just be some huge coincidence, right? From Hanks to Richard Dreyfuss to Shaq. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, you don't have to look too far. You can see these people doing these poses. Just go to the grocery store. Look at a magazine cover. They'll be doing it right on the cover of the magazine, right? And it's not because the guy who took the photograph was like, well, it would be really cool if you put your hand over your chest like this. And won't that be cool? You know, like this one, you know, Tom Hanks doing the hidden hand under his arm. I mean, blatantly right in front of our faces. So be aware of these things. Be aware that it's not as hidden as you would think. It's just the fact that they've trained our mind not to look for these things. I thank you for listening. To hope this helpful in some way. God bless all of you and your families.
Their force at peaceful protesters.
The vast majority of the protesters have been peaceful.
And they're going and just pulling people off the street to make it seem like there are problems going on when all that's happening are peaceful protests.
And our peaceful protesters' ability to get out at night.
Most of these protests have been peaceful.
I applaud these protesters.
The majority of these protesters are peaceful. They have been peaceful for weeks.
It has continued, for the most part, peaceful.
It was peaceful. We had a number of peaceful protests.
Even including a proposal to remove 911 dispatchers from police control.
Joe Biden said he's absolutely on board with defunding the police. Listen closely.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello, you've reached 911. I'm sorry that there is no one here to answer your emergency call, but leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Crime will rise significantly.
One step forward, two steps back. In other words, Hillary skates again. Jess, when we start to see progress on the Durham investigation with FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith pleading guilty to falsifying a document about Carter Page, though he still ludicrously insists he didn't intend to mislead, we learn that three judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals have unanimously reversed a lower court decision that Hillary Clinton would have to sit for a deposition over her use of a private email server for government work while she was Secretary of State. Judicial Watch, a part of Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that dates back to 2014, had requested depositions from both Hillary and her then-attorney Cheryl Mills over the emails. And this request had been granted by Washington, D.C. District Court Judge Royce Lamberth. The suit was initiated when Judicial Watch was trying to look into what happened during the attack on our consulate in Benghazi, Libya, but then got expanded when they discovered in that investigation that then Secretary of State Clinton was using her own private email server at the time. In fact, if it hadn't been for that investigation, we might never have learned about her private server. As it was, the questioning of Hillary would have been limited in scope, but now it won't be happening at all. The decision didn't change the lower court's ruling on Mills, however. The three-judge panel was made up of two Obama appointees and one appointed by George W. Bush. Judge Robert Wilkins, an Obama pick, wrote, and I quote, "The mere suspension of bad faith on the part of the government cannot be used as a dragnet to authorize voluminous discovery that is irrelevant to the remaining issues in a case," end quote. Make of that what you will, but be sure and compare it to other situations, such as the use of a dragnet for the past 4 years to try to get Trump on something, anything, long after the original issue in the Trump-Russia investigation had been resolved. Wilkins also said that Hillary Clinton shouldn't have to sit for a deposition because she'd already provided written answers in a separate case. At that time, she wrote that the reason she used a private server was for convenience. Ah, well, that's good enough for me. Why doesn't everyone in government just use their own servers? I mean, it would be so much easier. As the Epoch Times reports, Wilkins further noted that Congress, the FBI, and the State Department have also investigated Hillary Clinton's email situation. Ah, yes. We all know how thoroughly James Comey's FBI investigated Hillary during her mid-year exam. The State Department covered for their former secretary. They said that even though they had found nearly 600 security violations, they couldn't find persuasive evidence of systemic, deliberate mishandling of classified information. As for Congress, that ship sailed in 2018. Try getting Gerald Nadler's Judiciary Committee, or any other Democrat-led congressional committee, to do anything about Hillary Clinton's emails and her blatant obstruction of justice, and just see how far you get. Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, said he is disappointed, and he called the decision political. He said it's contrary to long-standing precedent and undermines the Freedom of Information Act. Indeed, it does. So it looks as though just because Hillary gave some lame written answers in another case, she doesn't ever have to sit for questioning about her email server. Not at all. And even though the court's decision didn't include Cheryl Mills, whom they say has other ways to appeal her deposition that were not available to Hillary Clinton, my guess is they were referring to Mills' ability to cite attorney-client privilege, which of course she will. Gosh, Hillary, it's so convenient to have an aide who is also your attorney, or who at least was at the time, and therefore can't be questioned about anything you communicated to her. Thanks so much for watching. Please consider subscribing to the channel below and clicking the notification bell. Leave a like and a comment. And share this video with people that you think it'll make angry. Yeah. If you want more of my news analysis and commentary, sign up for my totally free newsletter at MikeHuckabee.com. That's it for this edition of The Breakdown. I'm Mike Huckabee. Was when the convention was supposed to hit its stride with speeches by superstars Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris' acceptance speech. Instead, we got the same small ideas just mouthed by bigger names. Conventions are supposed to be to fire up the base and get them enthused about backing the ticket and the party. But have you seen any positive messages or fresh policy proposals at all? All we hear about Joe Biden is that he's a nice guy, which might be true if he's not yelling at you that you're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. But I'm nicer. And none of these people endorse me for president. I don't really want a president who will really be nice to China. I think the mean tone is because they know what a new NBC poll found, that only 36% of Biden supporters support him because they want Biden. 58%, they do it because they just hate President Trump. It says love, tolerance, compassion on the label, but the ingredients are hatred, frustration, and resentment. It's no wonder Americans are tuning out in droves. Night two of the convention was slaughtered in the ratings by America's Got Talent, which featured some yo-yo artists. Understandable. Well, at least their yo-yos have some pizzazz. Now, this is coming across as a convention of angry, bitter cranks, furious that they were voted out of power by all of you dumb racist deplorables, and even more enraged that Donald Trump is in the seat of power that should be theirs by divine right. I don't even recognize America the way they describe it, a dark, dystopian, racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic wasteland where there may be liberty and justice for all someday, as they rewrote the Pledge of Allegiance. They actually said that. I was reminded of Sally Field's famous Oscar speech. They hate us. They really hate us. Not only is the dour negativity relentless, it's also incredibly boring and predictable. And I'm not even going to bother to recount Obama, Clinton, or Harris's speeches in detail. Just imagine what you think they were like. And you're right. Harris mostly dispensed unmemorable platitudes to make sure that she didn't tick off the moderates or the crazy leftist. Hillary did what she's done for over 3 years now. Snipe at the guy who beat her, remind us that she won the meaningless popular vote, and then hint darkly that some foreign influence was going to rig the election for Trump. She's the Miss Havisham of politics, forever frozen in time on the day that she was jilted at the altar. And Obama was, well, he was Obama. Haughty, condescending, defensive, making vicious and underhanded political attacks on his successor while posing as if he were taking the high road. You know the routine. And just as predictably, the media wet their depends over it. Obama also implied that President Trump, who has lost billions in net worth since entering politics, and who even donates his entire salary, is only interested in enriching himself and his supporters. For your information, since leaving office, President Obama has cashed in more than any other ex-president, including a $65 million book deal and a $50 million Netflix deal. Not that you could tell by the generous donations that was made to his dear friend Joe Biden's campaign. And there's not a whole lot to say about the final night of the convention. Joe Biden and presumably his puppeteers appeared on stage and gave a surprisingly long speech, considering how much trouble that he seems to have in the last several months just finishing a sentence. His speech was full of jabs at the president, a few gaffes, though fewer than expected, and was riddled with gaslighting. Joe Biden continues to say that he would handle things better than the current president without ever presenting what he would have done differently regarding coronavirus and the ensuing and ensuing economic downturn. He claimed that Trump doesn't listen to science. In the meantime, Dr. Anthony Fauci said, quote, "The president has listened to what I've said. When I've made recommendations, he's taken them. He has never countered or overridden me," end quote. Fauci's own words. It's notable that he promised to run roughshod over your rights with a federal mandate to wear masks, a power the Constitution does not grant the federal government in any way. Seems he's learned a trick or two from President Obama. He ignored the fact that the economy has been recovering because that's been the president's strongest point. So that has to be ignored. And he conveniently ignored, or maybe he forgot, that he and most other Democrats didn't take the pandemic as seriously as Trump did early on. His speech was full of so-called empathy and appeals to emotion. Nothing new from the left, and it further demonstrates that their greatest and perhaps only strength is talking about what they don't like. Republicans always say that you can tell what the Democrats are doing by what they accuse their opponents of doing. But never have they been so transparent about it. I mean, so far we've had John Kerry telling us that Trump has made a mess of foreign policy, Bill Clinton telling us that President Trump's not behaving properly in the Oval Office, Andrew Cuomo telling us that Trump botched the handling of COVID-19, and Hillary Clinton telling us that Trump dehumanizes his political opponents. And I'm sure she's also worried that he won't accept the results of the election. And Barack, Operation Crossfire ruled by executive order, weaponized the IRS against the Tea Party, Obama, telling us that Trump abuses presidential power and doesn't observe the political protocols and the polite protocols of office, like not bad-mouthing your sitting successor. On the very same day that President Obama spoke, one of his former FBI employees pleaded guilty to falsifying evidence to get illegal FISA warrants to spy on a Trump campaign aide. It would have been more persuasive if he'd ever shown genuine regard for the Constitution and if Democrats would say one word about their own followers who are currently ripping down and burning every monument to the American Revolution. They've also never mentioned China. Apparently, Donald Trump and climate change are the only threats they recognize. And that would include the threat of being shot in one of the cities that they've run for decades. They want to empty the prisons, open the borders, defund the police, and take away law-abiding citizens' guns. Now, there's a winning combination. They also talked about the Parkland shooting while demanding that police be removed from schools. And do you know why so many children died there? Because it took the police so long to show up at the school. In a nutshell, here's what I've gotten out of this convention so far. We hate Trump. Trump is the cause of all bad things in the universe. We hate people who voted for Trump. America is a really bad country. But maybe there's hope for it someday if you let us run it. We see countless problems, but our only solution is put us back in power. For instance, if we only had Congress and the White House, we could give everyone affordable health care. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they had that from 2008 to 2010. They gave us the Affordable Care Act. It cost people their family doctors and doubled and tripled their premiums. It was so popular, it cost them the House in the next election. It's ironic that President Obama accused Donald Trump of not growing in the job when President Trump came in as a complete outsider and political amateur, won the presidency, and has racked up an impressive array of achievements, some by simply doing the opposite of what Obama did. It's these people who seem to have learned nothing since they were thrown out of office. They're long on resentment, but short on self-reflection. They're like the cool kids who peaked in high school, still acting like big shots on campus at the reunion when the rest of us have outgrown being impressed by them. All this convention is doing is reminding us of what a smart move we made when we moved on to something new. They're forever stuck back in 2015 and demanding we make them prom king and prom queen again.
All right, so one of President Trump's biggest skeptics during the presidential primary was conservative radio and television host Glenn Beck. Well, he now says he would gladly vote for Trump in 2020. He's here to explain that and weigh in on the new radical extreme Democratic Socialist Party, the anti-Semitism scandal. Glenn Beck himself, also the author of the upcoming book, Addicted to Outrage. All right. Good to see you. You are not being brought on this program in any way. We got along great for a while. You were very generous to me at one point when I needed a radio studio, and you never charged me a penny. And you gave it to me for like a year.
Sean, listen to me. We both believe that our country is in trouble. We're both men that are very passionate, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm more than happy that you reached out and wanted to talk.
Let me ask you, because look, you've always been an entertainer and performer in so many ways, and you know what? Everybody's views vary. We watched the Cheetos. The day after Trump was elected, you know, you said you compared Trump's win to what happened in Germany in 1933. Then you really lost me when you were hanging out with Samantha Bee. I thought that was, to me, you know, a different point. Tell us about
Samantha Bee. Look, I think I've been very consistent. I was judging Donald Trump on his record prior to being president of the United States. That's all you had to judge him on. I said after the election that he is my president, he is all of our presidents, and it is in our best interest that our president succeeds. And I want him to succeed. And I said over and over again, I hope that I'm wrong. And if I am, I'll be the first to admit it. Once he got into office, now he's the president. So now I'm not judging him on the past. I'm judging on what he's doing. And I call balls and strikes. And quite honestly, Sean, early on, I said, I never thought he would do that. By the time he got to Israel, he was proving me wrong every step of the way. On his policies, I was happy, thrilled to say he's doing the things he said he would do. I think the problem has been since he got into office on policies, the Republican Party. The Republican Party, he is the greatest misdirection of all time. All he has to do is just tweet something and the media goes crazy. They could have passed anything. And he would have signed it. They didn't. I ask, what's wrong with the Republican Party?
You know, to me, there are way too many Republicans. We learned this over Obamacare. Show votes for repeal and replace, 65 of them. Real votes, spineless, visionless, feckless.
Nothing. Same thing with the border.
I'm not a conservative either. You know, the only thing is, and I might have had an advantage that you didn't have, and like you, I went out on a limb. I told my conservative audience what I knew about Donald Trump. And if you looked at his record, gave money to Democrats, even Hillary Clinton, said nice things about Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that that was him playing the political game. He even said it. I'm playing the game in New York so I can keep my buildings going up, electricians, plumbers, steel workers working, and I'm still in business. Because otherwise you'd be shut out. As you look at the things he's done, and the way I look at it, biggest tax cuts, conservative justices, fighting like with everything he's got to get the border wall because he made the promise. Israel is another. Getting out of the Iranian deal. Even the concession.
Saying that he's against socialism. I was there at the State of the Union, and I watched the Democrats. I was sitting right across from the president in the back, and that's the way that thing should be shot. You should be able to see who's texting, who's laughing, who's poking each other, who's mocking. Sean, I was in the State of the Union.
How did you get an invitation? I never thought I would say this.
I never thought I would say this, but I left there thinking I don't think I would have had the restraint that Donald Trump had. They were hissing him, they were mocking him the whole time, and you didn't see it or hear it on television because I went back and watched. There is a clique now in the Democratic Party that are as radical can come.
Well,
I remember when I was told I was a racist for saying that people were socialist and the Democratic Party was going to become anti-Semitic and socialist. They'd take their mask off, was my quote, because that's who they are and they want to say that. Well, here we are.
We are now
at a point where if you go ahead.
Let me then ask this. You see the new Green Deal. No planes, no cows, no cars, no oil, no gas. The problem is it's not just one congresswoman. It's 100 Democrats at least and 2020 right. contenders. This is real for them. And then you add to that this absolute disgrace. They can't even condemn Congresswoman Omar in this case today. And you look at where they stand. And more importantly, I think the biggest abuse of power, corruption scandal in history as it relates to the deep state, those at the top of the FBI, not rank and file, those in the Justice Department, what they have done and still not held accountable, but I hear they will be.
I will just tell you this. The new Green Deal is one of the most frightening things because if you actually read the bill, forget about the cars and stuff. They don't care. They don't care about the green thing. The second part of that is the fundamental transformation of our economic system, and that is in there. They are looking to transform our system. When they say the free market system doesn't work and it's not going to be around long, they mean it. And Democrats, the good Democrats in the center of the country, who are not just playing politics, they've got to wake up to who is the Democratic Party today. These people are serious radicals. They have serious issues with race and anti-Semitism. They are serious socialists. They are not talking about Sweden. That is a free market with a lot of welfare on top of it. It's not a socialist country.
Well said. Last question, Glenn, if you don't mind. Will you vote for Trump in 2020?
You know, Sean, I think when you are looking at avowed socialists that want to end the free market, they're not even talking about abortion now. We're talking about third trimester abortions. When you are sitting here talking about infanticide, when you look at who these people are, there's no way anyone who is standing up against those guys and actually has a spine, yes. Now, will I say I'm going to vote for him? No, and here's why. Because anyone I ever say I'm voting for, it's
loses.
The kiss of death. So don't ask. If he wants to win,
one time I endorsed Joe Lieberman. He calls me and says, don't endorse me. You're not helping. You're killing me.
Right. I know.
All right. Good to have you back on Fox. Thanks for taking the time.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
May God bless America.
I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. Where we go one, we go all.
We have an army of digital soldiers. We have what we call citizen journalists. And so the American people decided to take over the idea of information, and they did it through social media. You are demonstrating a level of intellectual courage that our country desperately needs.